people that are less spiritual, if you're going to make this move, you're going to have to become more spiritual. Thinking, what I'm talking about. Because we get all these influences. We have several places that we receive thought patterns from. And there's at least four, biblically, that we receive thought patterns from. And what happens as we begin to move closer to the Lord, and God's got us on a call to come up higher. It was prophetically given to us last year, and it's been given to us last several years, that this time was coming. It's finally here. Hallelujah. It's celebration day. And so we're getting to move up higher. But in the process of moving closer to the Lord, what it will force demon activity. You've got to know that. You will not get close to God easily. It will take a real challenge of your heart and challenge your faith, and going to have to possibly begin to think differently about some things, because it's that natural mind that's been holding us away from the presence of the Lord. And you know, I've just determined, George was talking to me prior to service, and we were talking about one specific area of challenging it spiritually in the church. And in that process, I said, you know, there's a scripture comes to my mind. George said, God gave me that scripture this morning about that. And it's a scripture that was several scriptures relating to it. But how so many of the kings of Israel, the Bible would say, you know, that they worship God, but they fail to remove the high places. I want to be one that removes the high places, don't you? I want to be one that takes down the high places. And there were very few kings that did that. Very few. Besides Gideon and besides David, there were very few of the kings that removed the high place. So they never did wholly consecrate their self or their kingdom to God. And so when you begin to go after the high places, you will not go after that undetected. It's like you will be out in the open. It's almost like open battlefield. And what I see in my heart when I talk about this, I see like a flock of birds that just begin to fly. And some of you have been maybe out in the areas where you're almost starling. When you walk into a flock of birds, and they become so thick, it's almost like a cloud covering. And that's what demons do when you begin to move close to God. John Osteen used to say that when demons begin to move, that they may fly over any head. And they may light up on you, and you will begin to feel differently and think differently. And you got to be able to recognize, hey, Gary, Nancy, how y'all doing? You've got to begin to recognize demon influence. If you're going to move close to God, you're going to have to recognize it and understand that God wants you. You've got to a lot of times destroy the nest of demons if you're going to be able to move into that real close place with God. And so, I mean, you don't get close to God without war. You don't get there without a tremendous battle and a tremendous death of self and an enormous amount of surrendering our life so the life of Jesus can be made manifest. So we just got to be aware. And so I'm going to talk about that in a few ways tonight. I want us to first to think about the battleground is really right between my two ears. That's far as the Bible speaks of, that's the true battleground. In fact, God said this. This is what he said. You take care of this, I'll take care of this. The problem is we don't take care of this, and so God can't take care of this. And Jesus gave responsibility on those that would receive the miraculous moves of God. Responsibility is something like this. If you believe, you can receive. If you believe only. Jesus laid responsibility of occupying or conquering in here. And then he gave the promise that he could bring the victory out here. So as you begin to move closer, your desire begin to move close to God, you got to know there's going to be a battleground that's going to begin to take place. And the Lord just kind of told me like this, that I'm ready to fight. How many's ready to fight? You're ready to fight, and you're ready to win through the power of Jesus. And so you've got to be ready to conquer that battleground of thoughts. Now, in John chapter 13, verse 2, it says this. It says, so during supper, Satan having already put the thought of betraying Jesus into Judas. I just want you to begin to see that's the battleground. The reason that Judas acted underneath the sin that he did, because Satan had put that thought there. And he was not ready and willing to fight the battleground in his mind. He wasn't ready to win that. And we know he lost that. And I don't know how many of you, maybe the same thing happening. That Satan has formed a battleground in you of thoughts of sin. Man, don't get locked into that. Break loose from that. Do not allow that thought pattern, that chain. Don't allow that to develop in you. Stand up and fight against it. Amen. And then I love the word it says like this, John chapter 5, verse 45. It says, put out of your minds the thought. Man, put it out of your mind. That's what Jesus said. Learn to do warfare and learn to put certain thoughts out of your mind. Do not allow those thoughts to be there in your mind. And then in 1 Samuel 18:11 said, and Saul cast a javelin. And we're talking about another way that thought patterns are used against us. It said, for he thought. Saul's jealousy was conspired in his heart by his thought life. And I want you to know, I don't know who of you may be sensing that the enemy would form jealousy and fear, which really is a result. It all comes out of insecurity. If you don't let God tell you who you are, you're going to always try to be who God told somebody else they are. Unless you let God tell you who you are, you're going to always be doing battle and jealousy and envy. And it's of the enemy. For some, what God's told somebody else that they are. So it's just real important to know that the enemy, the way these demons operate, they begin to infiltrate your thought life. But we have the power, everybody say we have the power, to cast down those imaginations and to bring every thought into captivity. Amen. So, and then Psalms 21:1, it talks about the very thing. It says, for their thoughts were bitter against you. Do not allow the enemy. Recognize bitter thoughts before it ever develops a root of bitterness in your life. Begin to take that challenge. I'm going to do warfare there. James 3:15 says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. It's not God's kind of wisdom. You got to know it's not the Lord. Those thoughts that would cause you to be jealous over someone else are envious in another place or another way that God's using somebody else, that's not of God. That's one of the four major sources. One of the sources of my thought life, my flesh. My flesh just likes to think bad. And if I allow my flesh to rule my thought life, then it will run in direct rebellion to God. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people are not strong enough to handle their thought life. But you've got to let God do a grace. If you're ever going to be anything for Jesus, you've got to let God win the thoughts on the inside of you. You've got to let that war be won so God can win it out here. But the other one where these thoughts originate is the world, man. It's the people you run around with. It's the people that you associate. You can't think like them. You cannot allow your thoughts to be inspired by your friends if your friends are part of that world. You've got to just think differently. You've got to make some stands in your life. And then the third source of that is demonic. And that's exactly what we were talking about here. Satan put it in the mind of Judas. Satan put it in the mind of David to fear and to count Israel when God told him not to. When you allow the enemy to infiltrate spirits of darkness and they begin to infiltrate your thought life and you don't wrestle with them and you don't fight with them to have pure thoughts, to have true thoughts, to allow yourself to have the thought patterns of God, then you're opening yourself up not to a victory, you're opening yourself up to a major defeat in your life. So the Bible says, notice what I said in James 3:15, that such things, they're earthly, they're unspiritual, and they're demonic, is what he said. They're demonic. When I began to have jealous thoughts, and when I began to have selfish thoughts, the Bible says they're demonic. Demonic in origin. Now, there is a fourth place that thoughts can originate, and that's in the heart of God. And that is through the mind of the Holy Spirit revealing His thoughts to us. Now, somebody hold up the mind of God, would you? God gave us a complete, wonderful, powerful book full of His thoughts. Amen? All right, now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 9, we find that there's no one exception to this thought battle that people have. The first way the devil would defeat you is defeat you first in your thought life. In Luke chapter 4, 9 says, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and sat him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from here.'" The devil was trying his best to get Jesus to lose sight of the promise and to take an alternative route. I don't know how many of you, but if you're losing sight, if you've allowed the enemy to steal the zeal and the zest of the promise from you, then you will begin to look for a demonic route. So that's what was offered to Jesus. In his mind, the thought patterns came, and the Satan began to try to influence Jesus to lose sight of his promise. Somebody say, "I'm not going to lose sight of it. I'm going to guard my mind. I'm going to guard my thought life. I'm not going to allow the demon powers to have influence over me." And there's so many we could go to, but the last one I just want to mention real quickly in this introduction, I want to talk to you a minute about Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 says, "Then he went on alone into the wilderness." That word alone, your Bible says, you need to circle that, because you can tell there's aloneness with God, and then there's aloneness through depression. And listening to the voice of the enemy will drive you out just the same as listening to the voice of God will pull you into Him. Traveled all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and he prayed that he might die. The enemy can wear you down. If you don't win that thought life, he'll wear you down to where you will give up. You'll give up on the powerful dream that God put in you, on the powerful purpose that the Lord created you for. It's just easy if you get tired. The problem with Elijah was it had been too many days since he had heard a fresh word from God. So as you begin to pursue God, you're going to bring more threat to the enemy than any other thing that you could do. The enemy allow you to do some things, but he won't allow you to do some things. And when your heart is to pursue God and to move close to God, then you're moving into a place of territory that it completely frightens the enemy. And when you begin to frighten the enemy, then he's going to send out these things against you. So you got to begin to discern. Somebody say, discern. You'll never be any fit in warfare without the spirit of discernment operating in you. If we're going to get to where the Lord's called us, if we're going to be able to pull down some of these high places that tried to build the demonic powers and authorities over our cities and over our church and over our families and over our marriages and over our children, if we're going to see those topple, then we're going to have to be wise. We're going to have the spirit of discernment, and we're going to have to think spiritually. Everybody say, think spiritually. And allow God to reveal Himself through spiritual ways into my life. The first thing I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to begin to challenge those thoughts. Just very simple, I'm going to have to begin to challenge those thoughts. You've got to begin to ask yourself, what am I hearing? What am I hearing in my thoughts? What am I thinking? See, some people have a hard time focusing for a 30-minute message. You understand? Your thought life is so out of control. Some people can't focus on God's word. They can't focus on a message that God may be wanting to use to change your life. You can't focus on it for 30 minutes. There's too many distractions. There's too many distracting worlds. And I'm so thankful Lane tended to the cell phones this morning. I tell you what, just the same way that Facebook is a blessing to pull you together for prayer, it's also used by the devil to pull your focus off of the things that God's trying to do in your life. You've got to know that. And Lord and behold, that we could have a service that somebody wouldn't be on Facebook. How many believes God can do that? How many believe the Lord can do that? I believe God can do that. I believe God can give us spiritual-minded people that have a spiritual mind focus and will not lose sight of where we're going. And they can focus and they can determine. Amen? So you just got to begin to challenge your thoughts. And what am I believing? What am I hearing? What am I thinking? And what am I believing? See, the Bible said for me to take control of these thoughts, to capture these thoughts. That's the terminology, the same terminology. If you want to see a visible picture of what that is, you see yourself going out caging a wild animal. Take captive. Something that's wild is what the Bible is talking about. Take captive something that's wild. I don't know how many of you ever tried to put a coon in a cage. It's rather difficult. It's even difficult to put a little rat in a cage. But God has called you to capture a wild animal and to lock it up. And that's your mind and that's your thoughts. The greatest thing you could ever do for Jesus is to take your thoughts captive. Cage them up. Take that wild, uncontrolled, undisciplined, unyielding, rebellious, whatever else our thought patterns may be, and to put them in a cage and lock them up. And I tell you what, we're going to find out soon that God's made us lion tamers. Amen. And not a part of the lion pack. God has called us not to chew others apart, but He's called us to take that is wild and unwilling and unyielding, and God's called us to lock it away. All right, first thing I'll do is everybody say, I'm going to challenge my thoughts. The second thing I'm going to do, I've got to bring my mind into submission. Wow. I've got to bring it into submission. I want to just ask yourself some questions. That what your thoughts are, ask yourself, is this really true? What I'm allowing myself to think on, is this really true or could this be a lie? What I'm giving way to in my mind, is this really true or could this be a lie? Does this sound like the devil's accusations? This accusing that's going on in my mind, could this be the devil? And if it's accusing of the brethren, I guarantee you it is. It is. If there's judgmentalism or criticism going on in your mind, that is of the devil. Because the Bible says that the enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. Let me show you a picture. What that word means is this. It means two different individuals, and the accuser comes to sit down in between them to divide them. That's what the accuser does. And you just have to make a decision. I will not allow the devil to do this to my mind. I will not allow the accuser to have his way in my thought life. And then we ask ourselves, what am I putting my hope in now? What am I? Am I putting my hope in the flesh? Am I hoping he'll get over it? What is my hope? What am I allowing my thoughts to have in me? And do these truths, do what I'm believing, do they reveal the truths of Jesus' life and his resurrection? How does my thoughts line up with Jesus' thoughts? And remember what we're talking about, taking a caged animal and putting it, locking it up. Amen? Praise God. Then I want to talk to you. Not only does God want us to bring our mind into place of submission, but I tell you, one of the greatest things God wants to do is to consider the fruit of my thoughts. So the fourth thing is, God wants me to consider the fruit. I'm amazed at how that people can feel that the Spirit of God can speak to them with emotions and feelings that are contrary to the Spirit of God. God has the power of peace. When God speaks into your heart, it brings peace. Someone just called me yesterday and they said, Jerry said, I don't know. I'm having a hard time hearing from God. I'm having a hard time hearing what God's trying to tell me. And I said, wait just a minute. First thing you got to know is God speaks in ways more than words. I said, what do you feel? What do you sense? What do you sense when you think about these decisions that you make? What do you sense? See, you can tell the power of God because the power of God is associated with certain characteristics. It's love and it's joy and it's peace and it's long-suffering and it's gentleness and it's kindness and it's temperance. Do you understand? Don't you love to see a strong, muscular of a man have a gentle heart as a lamb? Don't you love to see a strong woman that has the gentleness of Christ, the gentleness of that lamb on the inside of her, and the kindness? That shows you that your thought life is lining up with the Spirit of God. If you're having to constantly do battle over anger and fear and frustration, I wouldn't trust what I'm hearing. If you're having to constantly avoid those things going on in you, those emotions and those feelings. See, when you begin to hear from God, I tell you the wonderful thing about God, He can give you peace even in the midst of the hardest storm. And in fact, Jesus has a grace that operates inside Him to where when it's howling outside, you can find a pillow to go to sleep on the inside. There is a peace that's associated with hearing God. And there is a joy that's associated with hearing God. If what you're hearing, if it's keeping you frustrated, if it's keeping you worried, if it's keeping you upset, honey, I want you to know that's not hearing the right thoughts. Understand, those thoughts are not originating with the heart of God. I must take the thoughts and lay them alongside of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Because the thing about the Holy Spirit, not only will He speak peace, but the Holy Spirit, the words that He speaks, are lined up right beside the fruit of the Spirit. So His character also directly identifies with the words that He's saying. So I just want to really encourage you to begin to identify the thoughts in you. If those thoughts are producing fear, you've got to be able to put those thoughts where they go. You got to begin to say, these thoughts are not originating from the right person. I don't know if they're coming from the world. I maybe not know whether they're coming demonic, and they may be coming out of my flesh. But one thing for sure, if it's coming out of the heart of God, it's got a love and a joy and a peace that's associated with it. In fact, the way that some people have a hard time following God, when the Bible just tells us strictly to follow after peace. If you want to know which way God wants you to go, all you have to do is begin to follow the flow of peace. You won't have to follow the flow of worry. You don't have to make decisions that's based on worry and anger or fretting or jealousies or any of those things. You can make your decisions in that is associated with the peace of God. Now, let me say again, you can be in the worst storm of your life, but Jesus has a peace that is associated with Himself and with His words and with His path. You can be in that peaceful place no matter what you're going through on this outside. Can you say amen? So the Lord wants to help us to begin. Then the fourth thing that God wants me to know, I've got to begin to fight back. Not only do I have to begin to look at my thoughts, and not only do I have to begin to bring them captive and pick those wild things and put them in a cage through the power of God. And not only does God want me to discern my thoughts in connection with what it's doing to me, what it's feeling. See, some people give way to what they say is God when it brings frustration in them, frustration in their family, frustration in the kingdom of God, frustration in their church. Honey, I want you to know that the way God talks to you has this wonderful association of joy and has this wonderful association of peace. And when you find one of those renegade thoughts, then you've got to be willing to fight back. Amen? Now, Vander Holyfield, he understood what fighting was. In fact, still yet, he had the Mike Tyson's print of his ear in him. And many of you may have a scar too. Because what you've got to learn, you've got to fight back no matter what it takes. You've got to begin to take a hold of the armor of God and begin to use it to resist those thoughts. And whatever it takes to bring those thoughts captive underneath the Lordship of Jesus. We're going to close tonight, and as we close, I want us to begin to just think about as this wonderful journey that God has called us on to come closer to Him. And simply as the Lord calls us closer to His presence, more and more of our flesh will be revealed, that more and more of our flesh can be peeled off of our life. We will begin to see ourselves, hopefully, through the light of the Holy Spirit. And we will begin to recognize, for the enemy had held us captive for so long in unhealthy, unwholesome, unholy thoughts that resisted the very will of God and the very power of God and the very love of God for my life. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit. There's some that's in a battle with real radical thoughts. I want to pray for you. There's sometimes in your life that it seemed like there is just an onslaught of thoughts that are against us. And it seemed like there's such an avalanche of evil that's been unleashed against us. Sometimes we need help of another believing brother or sister to dislodge those evil thoughts that's been set themselves against us. I can remember where I was. I can remember exactly what I was doing 40 years ago when my thoughts were coming so demonic, so inspired evil, and I loved God with all of my heart. I remember in my heart I cried out to God and I said, God, will it always be this bad? Will it always be this hard? And God let me know that He's God of the storm too, man. And that avalanche of evil that's been assigned against you, sometimes all it needs is the command of stop and resistance to it. God will help you. If you're here tonight, there has been an avalanche of thoughts that's been trying to take you down. I want you to come here and let me pray for you. Would you do that very quickly? Very quickly, come on. There's been an avalanche of thoughts. As these are coming, I want us to think about the other areas of thoughts. The thoughts that I'm allowing that I know that's not accompanying the peace of God that God has put in my heart. I know that I'm allowing that agitation, I'm allowing that frustration in my thought life, and it's resisting the peace of God. I should be at peace, Jerry, in the midst of the storm. I should have a peace and I should have a joy that should accompany this. But if you can fully recognize that you have been allowing thoughts, and most of the time it's just simply because we don't know at times, we can stop that. We can resist that. And those thoughts are not ours. Many of those thoughts, they originated out of some demon nest. Some of them originated out of the worldly friends that we've had. Some of them originated out of a past that we've overcome. And God gives us the authority to resist those evils.